continuing our tradition of learning to those who do not have someone to learn on their behalf, please learn this week's Mishnah on the Parsha and the merit of Fega Mindel Bas Moshe. This year it's brought to you by Chevre Lom the Mishnah and the OU. This week's essay on Purim is entitled Lots to Talk About. Purim. Mention of its name immediately brings to mind a familiar festive atmosphere and an exciting narrative. Many are also aware of the origins of the holiday's name. The Megillah itself states that Purim, meaning lots, is a reference to the lottery conducted by the wicked Haman in selecting the date of the Jews' extermination. His scheme was reversed, and Haman found himself hanging from the very gallows he had prepared for Mordechai. What might not be so familiar, however, is the significance of this name. What exactly is the big deal about lots? The Purim story is a gripping account of peril, heroism, and salvation. The aspect of the lot seems to be but a minor detail amongst these epic events. Why did the Megillah see fit to name this Yom Tov for the lots that were cast in the course of the events described in the Megillah? This issue may be clarified by examining the topic of lots in general, a subject which appears in various places throughout Talmudic and Halachic literature. A prime example exists in connection with the Beis HaMikdash. The daily service began with the Terumas HaDeshen, the removal of coals and ashes from the altar. The Mishnah in Yuma delineates the method employed in selecting the Kohen who would perform this initiating task. The Mishnah states, Hiskinu, the rabbis instituted, Shilo Yehu Tarmin Es HaMizbeach, that the privilege of performing the Terumas HaDeshen Elabifies would only be determined through lots. Halachic responsa, literature, records an interesting episode of a lottery conducted many years ago. Sometime during the 1600s, 12 cronies held their Purim Suda, their Purim feast, together. During the course of the festivities, they decided to engage in a contest of sorts. The activity of choice was a raffle. Contributing equal amounts to a collective fund, a silver goblet was purchased and designated as the prize. This lottery was conducted in the following way. Two receptacles were procured, each one containing 12 prepared slips of paper. On the papers in the first receptacle were written the contestants' names, one name per paper. The papers in the second receptacle remained blank, with one exception. One paper was written on it, the words, Mazel Tov. A child was brought in to carry out the drawings. He would jointly remove a slip of paper from each vessel, one name together with one blank. The process would be repeated until a match was found, until a name was removed with the Mazel Tov paper, whereupon the winner was declared. Apparently, this was the going thing at parties in those times. In this particular instance, the winner was picked by the sixth drawing. He received the Mazel Tov and the silver goblet. One of the losers, however, decided to conduct an investigation. He inspected the remaining undrawn slips of paper and discovered, to his horror, that there had been a gross error. One of the names was missing. In other words, instead of 12 names being entered into the raffle, in reality, there had only been 11, with a 12th having been left blank. In light of this omission, he charged, the results should be discounted. The winner, on the other hand, saw no need for a do-over. The mistake was amongst the unpicked papers, and so ultimately did not affect the outcome. Furthermore, the only one who may have had reason to complain was that individual whose name was omitted. The winner took care of this potential snag by providing that individual with a sizable cash consolation prize. As such, he was not challenging the results, and so, contended the winner, no one else should either. The issue was brought before the Chavis Yair, the venerated Potsik of that era. His answer is not only interesting from a halachic standpoint, but it's also very illuminating as to the spiritual factor inherent in a lottery. It is important to note, however, that the Chavis Yar was not dealing with the question of the permissibility of engaging in such parimutuel activities, but rather the focus of the Chavis Yar's responsum was a technical question of legal ownership resulting from the case at hand. The Chavis Yar ruled that the lottery was, in fact, invalid. True, the claimant's chances were not diminished by this particular omission, as the winner soundly argued. However, based on what really transpires behind the scenes, it becomes apparent that even a seemingly inconsequential mistake would disqualify the lottery. For, declared the Chavis Yar, the results of a lottery are effected through divine intervention. Heaven will only become involved, however, if the lottery is conducted properly. A botched drawing is an incomplete lottery, not subject to the special siyata d'shmaya usually directed at such endeavors. In such a case, then, the results are unreliable. Bearing in mind the Chavis Yar's enlightening perspective on lotteries, we may better understand why the name Lots was chosen to serve as a title for this yomtiv. One of the most fundamental characteristics of the Purim narrative is the nature of its events. In contrast to most other holidays whose miracles were nisim galuyim, overt miracles, the Purim story is characterized as nisim nestarim, hidden miracles. That is, the series of events of this period appear to be natural occurrences lacking any supernatural wonders. However, this is only the superficial view. Part of our task on this Yom Tov is to take a deeper look, which will reveal the clear presence of Hashem's guiding hand every step of the way. As contended by the Chavis Yar, a lottery is actually a quintessential manifestation of divine intervention. By using the name Purim, Lots, as the name for this Yom Tov, the Megillah is emphasizing the central theme of the day, recognizing Hashem's hand in the seemingly ordinary events of Purim and everyday life.